Duty of man. Did you know man has a duty to the Lord? You need to know what that duty is. You see, your eternal life depends on that duty being fulfilled. Satan attempted to tell Jesus what his duties were as a man in the flesh on earth. He didn't get very far. That scripture teaches us a very, very important lesson as far as how to handle Satan. We'll cover that scripture in our lesson today. The Lord is our master, and we are all his servants. When servants perform the duties that their master has assigned, it shouldn't be a big deal. They shouldn't be looking for some kind of special thanks or a big reward. What the servant did was their duty. Let's begin our study in Deuteronomy chapter 6, verse 1, as we ask that word of wisdom in Yeshua's precious name. Father, we ask you to open eyes, open ears this day. Moses was the first to tell us, and of course it was the Lord speaking through Moses, but was the first to tell us what our duty is in regards to the Lord. Let's pick it up, Deuteronomy chapter 6, verse 1, and it reads, "Now these are the commandments, the statutes, and the judgments which the Lord your God commanded to teach you, that ye might do them in the land whither ye go to possess it." And of course, Moses is referring to the promised land. There's a promised land in our future as well. It's called the kingdom of God. Learn these instructions and you will be preparing yourself to enter that promised land. You need to understand that there are differences between commandments, statutes, and judgments, often referred to as ordinances. You see, the law is still in effect. Jesus said in Matthew chapter 5, along about verse 17, 18, that he didn't come to change one jot or tittle of the law. That's the most insignificant portion of the law. But on the other hand, ordinances, for example, the blood ordinances, animal sacrifice to cover our sins, we no longer cover or atone for our sins with the blood of animals. The blood of Jesus Christ on the cross is what we wash our sins in today. Colossians chapter 2 covers the fact that many of the ordinances were nailed to the cross with Jesus. Verse 2, "That thou mightest fear the Lord thy God," or revere, "to keep all his statutes and his commandments, which I command thee, thou and thy son's son, all the days of thy life, and that thy days may be prolonged." Now there are conditions, and we're going to be studying those conditions today. You need to understand that God's promises don't apply to you unless you meet the conditions. But this is to carry on from generation to generation, is what this is saying, even unto this very day. "Hear therefore, O Israel, and observe to do it, that it may be well with thee, and that you may increase mightily," that you be prosperous. Do you want things to go well? Do you want to prosper? Well, listen up. "As the Lord God of thy fathers hath promised thee in the land that floweth with milk and honey." Earn the promises by meeting the conditions, and then claim the promises of your heavenly Father. Verse 4, "Hear, O Israel, the Lord our God is one Lord." I'm not going to go into a great detail about it, but if you have a companion Bible, you're fortunate. Bullinger notes that in the text, the Hebrew manuscripts, that this is a very special verse. The first two letters are majuscular, meaning they're in large case, uppercase, and the last two letters are also majuscular. And this adds a great deal of emphasis to this verse. Why? Because it's introducing the first and great commandment, as Jesus referred to them in Matthew chapter 22, verse 38. This is your duty to the Lord. And thou shalt love the Lord thy God with all thine heart, or mind you could even translate, and with all thy soul and with all thy might. That is man's first duty to the Lord, to love Him. You know, that's so important. I hope you can say, I love the Lord. I love my Lord. And these words which I command thee this day shall be in thine heart. Heart and mind, almost interchangeable in the Hebrew language. And thou shalt teach them diligently unto thy children, and shalt talk of them when thou sittest in thine house, and when thou walkest by the way, and when thou liest down, and when thou risest up. Meditate on God's word every day. Make God a part of your children's lives every day, not just one day a week when you go get all dressed up and go to church. Talk about God to your children. Children learn by repetition. Adults learn by repetition if they didn't learn when they were children. So tell them frequently about what the Lord has done and how we should love Him. And thou shalt bind them for a sign upon thine hand, and they shall be as frontlets between thine eyes. This is verses known as what is as a phylactery. And there are four separate sets of scripture that are known as the phylacteries. We have this one here in Deuteronomy 6. You'll find another in Exodus 13, verses 1 through 10. Also Exodus 13, verses 11 through 16. And Deuteronomy 11, 13 through 21. Now, some faiths or religions have taken this to where they meet, that they think that it means that you're to write these scriptures and put them on in a box on your forehead, or attach them to a box with a long strap and hold the strap in your hand and then wrap it around your arm 20 times. That's not what this means, in my opinion. In my humble opinion, this means you should have those scriptures, or at least be familiar with them and have them in your mind. Jesus said of the scribes and Pharisees that all of their works they do to be seen of men, and they make broad their phylacteries, meaning it's all show to them. Don't make it show, live it. Make it your life. Make God's word your life. Love the Lord and you'll do just fine. Verse 9, and thou shalt write them upon the posts of thy house and on thy gates. Keep the word of God in your home. It will be a happier, it will be a more peaceful home. And it shall be when the Lord thy God shall have brought thee into the land which he sware unto thy fathers, to Abraham, to Isaac, and to Jacob, to give thee great and goodly cities which thou buildest not. The Canaanites built the cities that Israel would inherit. They didn't even have to do the labor to build these cities. The houses full of all good things, which thou filledest not. You didn't earn those things. I'm giving you, the Lord speaking, what the Canaanites had, and wells digged, which thou diggest not, vineyards and olive trees, which thou plantest not, when thou shalt have eaten and be full. That's normally when people tend to forget God, is when they have eaten and they're full. They say, look how great I am. Look what I have done with all my own two hands. They don't give God the credit for it. If we continued on, which we're not going to Deuteronomy 32, verse 15, we would learn that God had a pet name for Israel when they were fat, dumb, and sassy. It's called Jeshurun. Isaiah chapter 5 tells us about God planting a vineyard for Israel. He said, I planted the choicest vine. I built wine presses. I digged out the rocks out of the vineyards. And I expected the choicest grapes. And you know what he got? Well, you can read about it there in Isaiah chapter 5. He got wild grapes. That should have been translated poison berries. Then beware lest thou forget the Lord, which brought thee forth out of the land of Egypt from the house of bondage. And I say to you today, beware lest thou forget the Lord. Give him credit. Give him thanks when things are going well in your life. He brought them out of bondage in Egypt. Many today are back in bondage. They're in bondage to usury. And younger folks, I know you need to make monthly payments for a car so you can get back and forth to work. But I'm afraid all too many young folks think that if they can afford the monthly payment, they can afford what it is they want to buy. And that's the problem. It's what they want to buy, not what they need to buy. So make a rule with yourself. Borrow only if it's something that you need to get to work, for example. Of course, you got to have a house, so it's okay to make house payments. But pay those off as fast as you can. It will save you a ton of interest money. Verse 13, thou shalt fear or revere the Lord thy God and serve him and shalt swear by his name. Ye shall not go after other gods, note the small g, of the gods of the people which are round about you. God didn't want Israel to take on the gods of the Canaanites, the previous occupants of the promised land. He didn't want them taking on Chemosh or Molech, the gods of the Ammonites and the Moabites, the gods of the Edomites. For the Lord thy God is a jealous God among you. Exodus 34, verse 14. We learn that his name is jealous, and that's with a capital J. Lest the anger of the Lord thy God be kindled against thee and destroy thee from off the face of the earth. Blotted out. Moses expounds further on the duty of man in chapter 30. Compliance brings life. Failure to comply brings death. Turn over to chapter 30, the same book, Deuteronomy. Chapter 30, verse 11. That's where we're going to pick it up. And it reads, for this commandment which I command thee this day, it is not hidden from thee, neither is it far off. God didn't keep things hidden from his children. He gave us the law through his servant Moses. He didn't hide the law. He couldn't expect us to live by the law if we didn't have access to the law so we know what his commandments are. It is not in heaven that thou shouldest say, who shall go up for us to heaven and bring it unto us that we may hear it and do it? We don't need astronauts to go to Mars to retrieve God's law. He gave us the law. Neither is it beyond the sea that thou shouldest say, who shall go over the sea for us and bring it unto us that we may hear it and do it? It is here, beloved. Do you hear it and do it? I know most of you do. But we don't need Christopher Columbus to sail across to some strange world, some new world, to obtain a copy of the law. It's here. But the word is very nigh unto thee, in thy mouth, it should be, and in thy heart or your mind, that thou may doest it. If it were far off in heaven or across the sea, we would probably forget to do the word of God. Unfortunately, many forget to do the word of God and don't love him now. Verse 15, see, I, the Lord speaking, have set before you this day life and good and death and evil, calamity or trouble, you could think of evil. And the choice is ours to make. There are two paths. You can choose life and good, or you can take at the fork in the road, the death and evil path. If you have any intelligence at all, I would hope you choose life and good. In that I command thee this day to love the Lord thy God. That's our duty as people, children of God, is to love the Lord our God, to walk in his ways, and to keep his commandments and his statutes and his judgments, that thou mayest live and multiply, that you prosper and live. And the Lord thy God shall bless thee in the land whither thou goest to possess it. Hosea chapter 6, verse 6. We learn there that God says, I want your mercy. That your love is the way it should have been translated. I want your love. And that's more important than your sacrifice. And understanding of God's word is more important than burnt offerings. What he wants your love. That's our duty. He has a right to expect, and he deserves our love. But if thine heart turn away, if your heart turns away from God and you forget him, so that thou wilt not hear, but shall be drawn away and worship other gods and serve them. The Antichrist is coming, beloved. He wants nothing more than for you to worship him. He's going to be pretending. He's going to be exalting himself above God in all that is worshiped. Don't be drawn away. Don't apostatize. Don't let false teachers draw you away. I denounce or I announce unto you this day that you shall surely perish and that you shall not prolong your days upon the land. No promised land if you are drawn away. Whither thou passest over Jordan to go to possess it. Your life won't be blessed. You do things God's way or lose. I call heaven and earth to record. I call heaven and earth to witness this day against you, those who are drawn away, those who forget God, that I have set before you life and death. Two choices, two ways. Blessings and cursing. Therefore choose life, that both thou and thy seed may live, that you and your children may live, that thou mayest love the Lord thy God. That's our duty as children of God. And that thou mayest obey his voice, and that thou mayest cleave unto him. For he is thy life and the length of thy days, that thou mayest dwell in the land which the Lord sware unto thy fathers, to Abraham, to Isaac, to Jacob, to give them. In Genesis chapter 2:24, we learn that a man is to leave his mother and father and cleave unto his wife. The word cleave in the Hebrew in most places is dabak. It means to be joined, and that's how close you should be to your heavenly Father, to be joined to him. Joshua also warned Israel and us about not fulfilling our duty to the Lord. Turn with me one book over, Joshua. We're going to pick it up in chapter 23, nearing the end of Joshua's life. Joshua was very special to the Lord. Out of the, I estimate, the population of Israel when they came out of Egypt, at 2.1 million. They had 603,550 fighting men, plus the elderly, plus the women, plus the children. But out of that 2.1 million, only Joshua and Caleb entered the promised land. God extended their life. And all the time that Joshua was in charge of Israel, they did well. After he passed, not so much. Joshua 23:1. And it came to pass a long time after the Lord had given rest or peace unto Israel from all their enemies round about, that Joshua waxed old and stricken in age. He lived to be 130 years old, which was a lot of years at this time in history. And Joshua called for all Israel, and for their elders, and for their heads, and for their judges, and for their officers, and said unto them, I am old and stricken in age. And ye have seen all that the Lord your God hath done unto all these nations, the Canaanitish nations, because of you, for the Lord your God is he that hath fought for you. And the Lord still fights for his children. And if you're on his side, you are on the winning side. Behold, I have divided unto you by lot these nations that remain to be an inheritance for your tribes, from Jordan, from the river Jordan, with all the nations that I have cut off, defeated in other words, even unto the great sea westward from the Mediterranean Sea. And the Lord your God, he shall expel them from before you and drive them from out of your sight. And ye shall possess their land as the Lord your God hath promised you. And the Lord always keeps his promises if we meet the conditions. Verse 6, be ye therefore very courageous to keep and to do all that is written in the book of the law of Moses, that ye turn not aside therefrom to the right hand or to the left. You know, the word tells us how to be pleasing to our Heavenly Father. And if you stick with that word and don't turn to the left, don't turn to the right, you'll do well in life. That you come not among these nations, these that remain among you, the Canaanites, neither make mention of the name of their gods, nor cause to swear by them, neither serve them, nor bow yourselves unto them. Stay away from false religions, Joshua is instructing. And of course, it's the Lord instructing the people through Joshua. But cleave, there we have that word again, dabak, join yourself unto the Lord your God, as ye have done unto this day. And again, as long as Joshua was in charge, the people did well. They did things God's way. Joshua made sure of it. For the Lord hath driven out from before you great nations and strong, much greater than you yourselves, much greater in number. Why did they win? Because God fought for them. But as for you, no man hath been able to stand before you unto this day. I don't care if you're in the minority. You and God are a majority. You're on the winning side if you're on God's side. One man of you shall chase 1,000, for the Lord your God, he it is that fighteth for you as he hath promised you. In Leviticus 26, which is blessings if you do things God's way, cursings if you don't. We learn there the same thing, that unbelievable imbalances in the number of soldiers. You'll have the victory if you're doing things God's way. But on the other hand, if you're not doing things God's way, the sound of a rustling leaf will frighten you and cause you to flee when no one is even pursuing you. Take good heed before unto, therefore, unto yourselves, that ye love the Lord your God. That, beloved, is the duty of man toward our Heavenly Father, to love Him. Else, if you do any in any wise go back and cleave unto the remnant of these nations, if you worship their gods, even these that remain among you, and shall make marriages with them, and go in unto them, and they to you. Deuteronomy chapter 7, verse 3, and the following verses. God's instructions were, don't give your daughters, the Canaanite, your daughters, to the Canaanites' sons to be wives. Don't take the Canaanites' daughters to be your sons' wives, because if you do, you're going to start worshiping their gods. God knew what he was talking about. It came to pass. Know for a certainty that the Lord your God will no more drive out any of these nations from before you. If you do the things you were instructed not to do, you broke the covenant. And God won't go before you to fight your fights for you anymore. But they shall be snares and traps unto you, and scourges in your sides, and thorns in your eyes, until you perish from off this good land which the Lord God hath given you. Life and good, or death and evil. Choice is yours. And behold, this day I am going the way of all the earth. He's saying, I'm going to die in the flesh. And you know, anyone who thinks that they're going to live forever in the flesh is in for a huge disappointment at some point in the future. And you know in all your hearts and in all your souls that not one thing hath failed of all the good things which the Lord your God spake concerning you. All are come to pass unto you, and not one thing hath failed thereof. God keeps his promises. And so it is this day. But you have to meet the conditions. Therefore, it shall come to pass that as all good things are come upon you, which the Lord your God promised you, so shall the Lord bring upon you all evil things until he hath destroyed you from off this good land which the Lord your God hath given you. Blessings or cursings, choice is yours. When you have transgressed the covenant of the Lord, when you break the covenant which he commanded you, and have gone and served other gods and bowed yourselves to them, then shall the anger of the Lord be kindled against you, and you shall perish quickly from off the good land which he hath given unto you. Love the Lord and live, otherwise die. That's the choice. And you know, that's not tough. And you might say, well, I would never worship another god. Oh, well, I tell you, we've got idols in this generation. An idol is anything that gets between you and your relationship with God. Might be a car, might be your job. Don't allow anything to make you forget God. Satan attempted to tell Jesus what the duty of man is. He didn't get very far. Let's turn to Matthew chapter 4, New Testament. Matthew chapter 4, we're going to pick it up with verse 1. And it reads, then was Jesus led up of the Spirit. Notice the capital S. That means the Holy Spirit. Into the wilderness to be tempted of the devil. And when he had fasted 40 days and 40 nights, he was afterward and hungered. He was physically hungry. 40 in biblical numerics is probation. Jesus will pass this probation with flying colors. I hope you will learn from this scripture so that you also can pass probation with flying colors. And when the tempter, that's the devil, came to him, he said, if thou be the Son of God, command that these stones be made bread. In other words, Satan's saying, prove you are the Son of God and change these rocks into bread. Notice, Satan knew where Jesus' weakness were at this very moment. He was hungry. He'd been 40 days and 40 nights. He was starving. But he, being Jesus, answered and said, it is written, man shall not live by bread alone. This, he's referring to Deuteronomy chapter 8, verse 3. But by every word that proceedeth out of the mouth of God. Bread won't save you. I'm not talking about the bread of life. That will save you. But bread made from flour will not save you. The Word of God can save you if you'll pay attention to it. Then the devil, that's the tempter of verse 3, taketh him up into the holy city, Jerusalem, and setteth him on a pinnacle of the temple. This means he took him to the very highest point on a corner. And saith unto him, if thou be the Son of God, again, prove you are the Son of God, cast thyself down, jump. For it is written, Satan, quoting scripture, he shall give his angels charge concerning thee, and in their hands they shall bear thee up, lest at any time thou dash thy foot against a stone. Satan, quoting scripture. But if you check him out, he added a little bit. He left a little bit out. You need to study his word so you know when a false teacher adds a little or leaves part of it out. Jesus said unto him, it is written again, thou shalt not tempt the Lord thy God. Deuteronomy chapter 6, verse 16. And you know, that's what Israel, when they came out of bondage to Egypt, did. And the reason that they were not allowed to enter the promised land, they tempted God some 10 times with the golden calves, over the manna, over the quail, this, that, and the other. Verse 8, again, the devil taketh him up into an exceeding high mountain and showeth him all the kingdoms of the world and the glory of them. In Daniel, we learn that Satan comes in peacefully and prosperously. He will promise you anything. He just wants one thing, and that is for you to worship him. And saith unto him, Satan said to Jesus, all these things will I give thee, if thou wilt fall down and worship me. 2 Thessalonians 2:4, the son of perdition, that's Satan, will exalt himself above God and stand in the holy place claiming that he is God. Then saith Jesus unto him, get thee hence, Satan. That's get behind me, Satan. For it is written, thou shalt worship the Lord thy God, and him only shalt thou serve. Deuteronomy chapter 6, verse 13. We were just there. But that is how you handle Satan, beloved. Jesus showed you. Of course, we do it. Get behind me, Satan, in the name of Jesus Christ. Don't argue with Satan. For goodness sake, don't try and outsmart Satan. Ezekiel 28, God created Satan, the full pattern, full of wisdom and beauty. Don't try and outsmart him. Don't entertain him or his. Rebuke him in the name of Jesus Christ. The Pharisees and Sadducees continuously tried to ensnare Jesus, to trap him. Turn with me to Matthew chapter 22, verse 15. Matthew 22:15, it reads, then went the Pharisees and took counsel how they might entangle him in his talk. This word entangle means to ensnare, how to trap him. And they sent out unto him their disciples, the Pharisees, with the Herodians, saying, Master, the Herodians were political people, people who supported Herod. Master, we know that thou art true and teachest the way of God in truth. Neither carest thou for any man, for thou regardest not the person of men. You don't show any partiality. They're buttering him up. When someone is buttering you up, be smart enough to know what they're doing. Tell us, therefore, what thinkest thou? Is it lawful to give tribute, tax, unto Caesar or not? This is a trick question. Caesar, probably the most powerful flesh man in the world at this time. And Caesar says, pay taxes to me. They're trying to get Jesus to say, no, you don't have to pay taxes. But Jesus perceived their wickedness and said, why tempt ye me, ye hypocrites? Oftentimes, Jesus answered a question with a question. Show me the tribute money. And they brought unto him a penny. They brought a coin to him. And he saith unto them, whose is this image and superscription? Whose picture is on this coin? They say unto him, Caesar's. Then saith he unto them, render therefore unto Caesar the things which are Caesar's, and unto God the things that are God's. Pay your taxes. Obey civil laws. When they had heard these words, they marveled and left him and went their way, foiled again. The same day came to him the Sadducees. They're going to take a shot at him, which say that there is no resurrection, and asked him. Resurrection is life after death. The Sadducees did not believe there was life after death, saying, Master, Moses said, if a man die having no children, his brother shall marry his wife and raise up seed unto his brother, children unto his brother. And that's true. That's the law. Deuteronomy 25:5. Now there were with us seven brethren. They're going to pose a hypothetical to him. And the first, when he had married a wife, deceased. He died. And having no issue, no children, left his wife unto his brother. Likewise, the second also. The second died. And the third unto the seventh. Seven husbands. I couldn't help but think about Winston Churchill when I studied this scripture. One of the female members of the British Parliament said to Winston Churchill on one occasion that if he were her husband, she would put poison in his tea. And the quick-witted Winston Churchill replied, Madam, if you were my wife, I would most assuredly drink that tea. I think this woman was spiking the tea of her seven husbands. Verse 27. And last of all, the woman died also. All gone. She planted seven husbands, and then she died. Therefore, in the resurrection, whose wife shall she be of the seven? For they all had her. Which one? And they're basically saying, if there is life after death, the law of Moses couldn't be right. Jesus answered and said unto them, ye do err, not knowing the scriptures, nor the power of God. And you will err if you don't understand the scripture and the power of God as well. Verse 30, for in the resurrection they neither marry, this means after life after death, they neither marry nor are given in marriage, but are as the angels of God in heaven. They're in spiritual bodies. And all spiritual bodies are wed to Jesus Christ. All bodies are the same in the spiritual body. But as touching the resurrection of the dead, have ye not read that which was spoken unto you by God, saying? Haven't you read the scriptures? I am the God of Abraham, and the God of Isaac, and the God of Jacob. God is not the God of the dead, but of the living. He's giving them quite a Bible lesson. And when the multitude heard this, they were astonished, they were amazed at his doctrine, at his teaching. But when the Pharisees had heard that he had put the Sadducees to silence, he put them to shame, they were gathered together. Let us take another shot at him. Then one of them, which was a lawyer, a scripture lawyer, no doubt, asked him a question, tempting him and saying, Master, which is the great commandment in the law? Which is the most important of all the law? Jesus said unto him, Thou shalt love the Lord thy God with all thy heart. That is the duty of the children of God. And with all thy soul and with all thy mind. This is the first and great commandment. And the second is like unto it. Thou shalt love thy neighbor as thyself. On these two commandments hang all the law and the prophets. I like the way Moffat translated this last verse. The whole law, all of the law, hangs on these two commandments. Well, we're all servants of our Master, the Lord. When we've done our duty to Him, we should not expect some special thanks or rewards. In closing, turn with me to Luke chapter 17. Luke chapter 17, verse 1. Then said he, being Jesus, unto the disciples, It is impossible but that offenses will come. Trouble is coming. But woe unto him through whom they come. It were better for him that a millstone, that's a big rock, were hanged about his neck, and he be cast into the sea, than that he should offend one of these little ones. Take heed, beware to yourselves. If thy brother trespass against thee, rebuke him. And if he repent, forgive him. We have to forgive to be forgiven. And rebuke him is to correct him. And if he trespass against thee seven times in a day, and seven times in a day turn again to thee, saying, I repent, thou shalt forgive him. You must rebuke him, though, before forgiving him. In Matthew chapter 18, verse 22, one of the disciples asked about this. And Jesus said, they say seven times forgive him. I say unto you, 70 times seven, if he repents, forgive him. Verse 5, And the apostles said unto the Lord, Increase our faith. That's a good thing to ask for. Romans chapter 10, verse 17, tells you how to increase your faith. Faith cometh by hearing, and hearing by the word of God. And the Lord said, if ye had faith as a grain of a mustard seed, a mustard seed, the smallest seed of all the herbs. But of all the herbs, when a mustard seed germinates and grows, it becomes the largest plant. Ye might say unto this sycamine tree, a mulberry tree, according to the Smiths, be thou plucked up by the root, and be thou planted in the sea. It should obey you. But which of you, having a servant, plowing or feeding cattle, will say unto him by and by, when he has come from the field, go and sit down to meat? Which one of you, if you were the master, had a servant who returned to the house and said, oh, you've had a rough day. Go sit down and let me prepare a supper for you. And will not rather say unto him, make ready wherewith I may sup, and gird thyself, and serve me till I have eaten and drunken, and afterward thou shalt eat and drink. The servant normally serves the master, not the other way around. Doth he thank that servant? Does the master thank the servant because he did the things that were commanded him? I trow not, Jesus says, I think not. So likewise ye, when ye shall have done all those things which are commanded you, say, we are unprofitable servants. We don't deserve to profit any more than what we already have. We have done that which was our duty to do. Moffat translates this phrase, we are but servants, we have only done our duty. So when you have done your duty to the Lord, don't expect some reward or special thanks. You've done what you were commanded to do by the Master. Let's go to His throne. Yahweh, Heavenly Father, we thank you for your written word. Father, that word that tells us how to be pleasing to you, Father. We ask that everything we do the rest of this day be in the honor and glory of thy name. We do love you, Father. In Jesus' precious name, amen.
The Mark of the Beast on CD is our free introductory offer to you. What is the Mark of the Beast? Many false teachers would have you believe it will be a tattoo on your forehead or a computer chip implanted under your skin. It is getting late in the game. You need to know what the mark of the beast is. As it's written in Revelation chapter 13, verse 8, many will be deceived. There is no need for you to be deceived. Christ said in Mark 13, 23, behold, I have foretold you all things. Jesus indeed told us how not to be deceived, and Pastor Arnold Murray takes you on a step-by-step study of God's Word concerning this critical subject, the mark of the beast. The telephone call is free. The CD is free. We don't even ask for the shipping and handling. It is free as well. All you need to do is call 800-643-4645 to request your one-time, one-per-household copy of The Mark of the Beast. You may also request your free CD by mailing your request to Shepherd's Chapel, Post Office Box 416, Gravette, Arkansas 72736. Don't be deceived by Satan.
Please give us some kind of update on Pastor Arnold's health. My prayers are with him daily, and thank you for his prayers. Pastor Arnold, those of you who caught the programming last week of the Fall Fellowship meeting, you note that he delivered a message called Woe at the Fall Fellowship meeting in the afternoon. And he continues to improve. He's having some minor medical issues attended to. There's some positive things happening. I'm not going to go into detail, as I know many of you wish I would, but I ask you to respect his privacy. And will he be back and doing the broadcast? Well, I know one thing. If God wants him to be back doing the broadcast, Arnold Murray will be back doing the broadcast. So keep him in your prayers. You follow with a question. Could you please expound on the phrase, Jacob's trouble? I'm not sure what this really means, is understand Jacob's struggle with God. And it doesn't have anything to do with Jacob's struggle where he wrestled with the angel of the Lord. When we've been talking here in the book of Psalms about the day of Jacob's trouble, that refers to when Antichrist is here on earth. Why is that? Revelation chapter 12, verse 13. The dragon persecuted the woman, and who is, when he was cast out of heaven, you remember Michael and his angels are victorious and boot him out onto earth. When he realizes he's on earth, he persecutes the woman. Who is the woman? The woman is Israel. And when you hear the name Jacob, that means all 12 tribes of the nation of Israel. Pastor Arnold or Dennis, and I'm out of time. I'm going to hold that one until our next meeting, and we'll address it at that point in time. I am out of time. I want you to know that I love you a great deal because you enjoy studying your Father's Word in depth. You make an hour a day or 2 hours a day to study His Word. And when God looks down and He sees you reading the letter that He wrote to you, it makes His day. Blessings will follow, I'll assure you. He loves those who love Him. We are brought to you by your tithes and offerings. If we've helped you, help us keep coming to you and to reach out to others who are lost in this world of darkness. There's one thing that's most important, though, beloved, and it's this. It's important that you make that hour, 2 hours a day, to read your Father's Word. Every day in His Word is a good day, even with trouble. Do you know why? Because Jesus is the living Word.
Hearing God's Word with understanding will change your life. We hope you have enjoyed studying God's Word here on the Shepherd's Chapel Family Bible Study Hour with Pastor Arnold Murray. If you would like to receive more information concerning Shepherd's Chapel, you may request our free introductory offer. Our introductory offer contains the Mark of the Beast audio tape, our monthly newsletter with a written Bible study, a tape catalog, and a list of written reference works available through Shepherd's Chapel. To request our free introductory offer by telephone, call 800-643-4645 24 hours a day. You may also request our introductory offer by writing to Shepherd's Chapel, Post Office Box 416, Gravette, Arkansas 72736. Once again, that's Shepherd's Chapel, Post Office Box 416, Gravette, Arkansas 72736. We invite you to join us for the next in-depth Bible study each weekday at this same time. Thank you for watching today's program, and God bless you.